This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Chris Derrick back on the program with us this week. Chris is an attorney based in Asheville, North Carolina, who specializes in the areas of promotion and marketing law, corporate law, and business transactions. He formerly served for 2 years as special counsel to Commissioner James Dobson on the 1999 National Gambling Impact Study Commission. And of course, Dr. Dobson was the head of Focus on the Family, our national counterpart organization. Chris also provides legal and legislative assistance to the North Carolina Family Policy Council, and we greatly appreciate all the wonderful work that Chris does. Chris is the author of an exclusive article featured in the spring 2014 issue of Family North Carolina Magazine entitled, Going Off the Reservation, Why the Catawba Indians Have No Legal Authority to Open a Casino in North Carolina. This week, we're going to pick back up with a discussion that we began last time with Chris about why this South Carolina-based Indian tribe lacks the right and authority to open a casino in North Carolina. Chris, thanks so much for being back with us on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Well, let's shift our focus now to North Carolina and the tribe's efforts here. As I understand it from looking at documentation that we have seen through a Freedom of Information Act request to get hold of the tribe's application to have the Bureau of Indian Affairs of the U.S. government essentially to take land into trust on the tribe's behalf, we became aware that as early as and probably before even March of 2013 that there had been efforts underway by the tribe to have discussions with local officials and state officials and even officials within the governor's office to sort of test the waters, so to speak, to pursue the potential for a gambling operation in North Carolina. Talk about that a little bit and sort of what the status of that is right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it was the efforts of the Family Policy Council that uncovered a lot of this information. But as it turns out, and what the Family Policy Council found out was that at the same time the tribe was litigating this case in South Carolina that we've been discussing, it was also attempting to negotiate a deal with North Carolina to allow the tribe to open a casino there on the Kings Mountain site. And according to media reports, someone on the tribe's behalf actually presented Governor McCrory's office with a draft of an IGRA-style compact containing a revenue-sharing arrangement for the proposed Kings Mountain casino, similar to the one found in the Cherokee's gambling compact signed by Governor Bev Perdue back in 2012, the most recent version there. But thanks to your efforts and the efforts of the North Carolina Family Policy Council, the Catawba's casino compact effort went nowhere. In fact, leading lawmakers, including North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper, leaders in the North Carolina Senate, and over 100 members of the North Carolina House of Representatives either wrote letters or sent statements indicating their formal opposition to the Catawba Casino. And on September 9th, Governor McCrory issued a definitive statement that really kind of put the nail in the coffin on any sort of negotiated compact with the Catawba tribe. And in that statement, he said that he remained unconvinced that any new casino proposal was in the best interest of North Carolina.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that the reason that our state policy leaders took those efforts to make public statements and also contact the U.S. Department of the Interior is because the tribe filed an application with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, a part of the federal government, essentially asking the U.S. government to take about 16 acres of land in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, into trust on the tribe's behalf so that they could begin the process of establishing a casino there. Now, they would purchase this land, presumably, and if they are able to get the U.S. government to hold this land into trust on their behalf, that is really the beginning step or stage that is necessary for them to officially pursue the siting and operation of a gambling casino in North Carolina. Talk a little bit about the application and what it means for the U.S. government to take land into trust on a tribe's behalf.
Well, as you point out, under certain circumstances, Indian tribes can purchase off-reservation property and place that land into trust with the Secretary of Interior to serve as tribal land. In other words, they gain more tribal territory that way through this trust process. And tribes have sometimes even attempted to put land located outside their tribal reservations into trust for the specific purposes of operating a casino. And this is something that, at least in the article, we refer to it as reservation shopping. And reservation shopping tribes have typically selected land for trust on the basis of whether it, as we've already mentioned, provides easy access to large numbers of potential gamblers, rather than on the basis of whether there's really a historical connection to that land. So with its proposed casino site there on I-85, the Catawba selection of off-reservation property is very much in line with what other reservation shopping tribes have done or seek to do in getting new land for trust to use for gambling. But that said, the Catawba's reservation shopping initiative is completely unprecedented, and that is because all prior trust applications by Indian tribes seeking to have the Secretary of Interior place new land into trust for gambling have been governed by the terms of IGRA. IGRA does not apply to the tribe, and consequently will not and does not apply to this trust application that the tribes filed with the Secretary of Interior. So that means then that the Secretary of Interior's decision on whether the Kings Mountain site may be taken into trust by the tribe and must be determined solely on the basis of the terms of the Catawba Settlement Agreement and not anything having to do with IGRA. And that's what makes this Catawba trust application really a case of first impression for the Secretary of Interior.
And one of the most important points I think that you make in your article is that the settlement agreement that the Catawba tribe made with Congress and the state of South Carolina essentially requires or states that the only land the tribe can take into trust is in South Carolina, not in North Carolina or, frankly, in any other state, because as you mentioned early on in our discussion, that there is a provision in the Congressional Act regarding essentially when the tribe entered into this agreement that they agreed to the extinguishment of all future land claims to land outside of the state of South Carolina.
Well, that's exactly right. And the article goes into some of the tedious details of the Catawba settlement. But as tedious as they are, you know, once you look at the terms of the settlement closely, it becomes very clear that the terms of the settlement don't permit the tribe to take North Carolina land into trust. And in fact, they make clear that the only land that the Catawba tribe have put into trust for their benefit is land within the state of South Carolina. And just to give you a couple of examples of how that is clear from the terms of the settlement, all the settlement documents define the word state in the capital letter state, starting with a capital letter state, only to mean the state of South Carolina. The words North Carolina are mentioned only one time, and that's in the Federal Act, and that's within the definition of the term service area. And service area simply relates to the service area for the health care services provided by the federal government that the members of the tribe will receive. So that North Carolina is not even implied that North Carolina land would somehow be able to be put into trust for the benefit of the tribe. The legislative history of the Catawba settlement also indicates that all the land that's acquired and taken into trust for the benefit of the tribe must be land in one of two counties in South Carolina. It's York County and Lancaster County. So once you kind of get down to running through the weeds on this Catawba settlement, it's very clear that the tribe does not have the right to go outside of South Carolina to acquire any lands for any purposes whatsoever that would be placed into trust with the Secretary of Interior.
And a similar provision relates to gambling activities as well. Not only does the settlement agreement restrict the tribe's ability with respect to land, but also to gambling activities. Talk about that, if you would, for a minute, and explain why the settlement agreement really only allows the tribe to operate the types of gambling that are legal in South Carolina, and how illogical the tribe's assumption is with this proposal that if, in fact, the tribe were to be able to have the federal government take land into trust on their behalf in the state of North Carolina and operate a gambling casino, that operation would actually fall under the jurisdiction of the state of South Carolina, the General Assembly of South Carolina, and the governor of South Carolina, and that the legislature in North Carolina and the governor of North Carolina would have no authority really to oversee or have any impact on that.
Each of the three settlement documents we've been talking about, the federal act and the state act that then confirm and codify the settlement agreement itself, all those documents plainly state that the laws, ordinances, and regulations of the state of South Carolina govern the regulation and conduct of any and all gambling activities by the tribe anywhere. Again, the specific language says that it's gambling activities. It governs, South Carolina law governs gambling activities of the tribe on and off the reservation. And, of course, we've already discussed the fact that South Carolina law prohibits all forms of video and Las Vegas-style casino gambling, which is why the tribe is looking to cross the border into North Carolina. But so even assuming if the settlement agreement documents could be read to somehow allow the tribe to acquire land in North Carolina and put it into trust, South Carolina law would still have to govern that land, and it would govern the activities of the tribe on that land. So this creates a scenario where even if somehow the tribe could come across the state line and get property in North Carolina, have it placed into trust, it would still have to operate under the laws of South Carolina. And that leads to just kind of an absurd result, if that really could be said to happen.
Well, Chris, I know in your article that you kind of sum it up at the end by saying that essentially, just looking at the big picture aspect of this whole effort, that it really is a constitutional dead end. Talk about that, if you would, for a minute. If you had to just essentially explain this in 30 seconds or less, how might you do that?
Well, I guess just very quickly that according to the terms of the settlement documents like we've talked about, any property placed in trust for the benefit of the tribe is necessarily subject to the laws of South Carolina. And that includes everything from the state's civil and criminal laws to the gambling laws to its tax laws, and even local building codes would apply to the tribe under the terms of the settlement documents. So if the Kings Mountain site were somehow placed into trust, as the tribe argues it should be, such North Carolina land would correspondingly fall under the jurisdiction of another state, the state of South Carolina, and that would result in a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution. And it could really create some unintended consequences for the tribe as well, because that situation could nullify the terms of their settlement agreement.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this week. Just a reminder to our listeners that a copy of Chris's article, Off the Reservation, is in the spring 2014 issue of Family North Carolina Magazine. And that article is also available in a PDF format that you can download from the North Carolina Family Policy Council's website at www.ncfamily.org. Again, that website is ncfamily.org. Chris Derrick, thank you so much for your hard work on this important article for the North Carolina Family Policy Council and for being with us on the show these past 2 weeks. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, John. It's been my honor. I appreciate it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.